Hey, Saucy But Sweet fam. We are back with our second bonus episode of the season. And this week, we are bringing the sauce big time. I hope everyone had an amazing holiday season. I know I did. I spent Christmas with my family and everyone I hold dear. And for those who don't celebrate, I hope you had a restful and eventful experience as we close out 2023 and enter a new year. Now, for those who have paid close attention to the entertainment space, or really just looked at what society has become over the last year, you know this year had a lot of highs and also a lot of lows. Whether it be Beyoncé's jaw-dropping Renaissance tour this year, which blew everyone away, the first ever Coachella featuring headliners that were all people of color, and on a more sour note, the awful conflict starting up again between Israel and Palestine. There's so many moments that really took the year by storm and left us wondering what is in store for the new year. If you're like me and looking forward to reflecting on the past year, stick with us. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. I am so happy to have Sivani Campos joining us. So hey, Sivani, first off, let's just acknowledge that this is the first time we're seeing each other in maybe 2 or 3 years. I know we saw each other. I know during COVID, I think we went to that ice cream thing, that cool, like, not ice cream, the bakery thing.
We went to the bakery where all of the objects were phallic.
Yes, and we ate, you know, vanilla waffle dicks.
Vanilla, and donut dicks and waffle vaginas.
Oh my God, that was the last time I think we saw each other.
Mm-hmm. It was you, me, and Parker. By the way, thanks for having me. You've come such a long way. Your podcast sounds amazing. And you also have such a great podcast voice. Like, your voice is super engaging and I enjoy listening to it.
Thank you.
And we share a best friend. And yeah. So it's nice to reminisce and talk about Corey.
Shout out to Corey Matthews,
co-host of Major League Deals.
Yes, and he has been a guest on this podcast.
Oh.
And for all the listeners who are listening to the end of this episode, you might hear his voice later on. I did a little surprise, so.
Oh.
And, you know, first off, since this is your first time on the podcast, won't be your last, but it is your first. Can you introduce yourself for those who don't know you?
So my name is Sivani Campos. I am a finance reporter. My friend Corey, who I share with Allie, Corey Matthews, he and I co-host the Major League Deals podcast, which is a sports business podcast where we break down the coolest, most influential business deals that have impacted pro sports.
Woo!
Most recently, we covered the Shohei Ohtani deal, which just happened. Shohei Ohtani is like this ridiculously good baseball player, Allie. He can play defense and offense pretty well, and dynamically, life-changingly well. And he signed a 10-year, $700 million contract, and Corey and I broke it down.
What?
Yeah. Dang. Yeah. Yeah. So we have a lot of fun on there.
I could use some of that money right now.
For real. Inflation right now is no joke.
Man, we need to do an episode on that. And I'm not a finance person, but we got to bring some finance people on. If you and Corey want to come in and let's talk about this, because it's out of hand.
And like, no one is better to talk about it than Corey. Listeners, I'm telling you right now, you need a friend like Corey in your life because he takes such joy in the minutiae, in the numbers of everything. And he's the smartest person. He's one of the smartest people that I know. And I love talking numbers with him.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Because my brain just doesn't compute when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Does not compute.
In our dynamic, Corey is definitely the numbers, right? And I'm like more of like the storyteller. So it's a really fun dynamic. And I totally get you, Allie. Like, after a while, numbers are just like, you know that Snoopy teacher voice? Wah, 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 wah. That's numbers after a while.
Yes. And, you know, I'm just going to say it. My ex, back in 2021, my ex kind of gave me the tax
talk, the taxes talk, because I started a job, like a real job for the first time. I didn't know nothing about taxes. So he had to break it down, and he's a finance person too. He's, I don't know if he's listening to this episode, but hey, how you doing?
What's up, X?
What's up, X? He had to really break it down, and I was like, ooh, I feel dumb, but thank you. And I'm also depressed because they taken all my damn money and then I barely get it back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a whole another conversation, y'all.
America.
Yeah, it's Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam. So,
yeah,
you know, this interview is being recorded before Christmas. And so, you know, when listeners listen to it, Christmas would have passed. But kind of talk about, like, what are some of your holiday plans? Like, where are you right now? What's going on with you? What are you looking forward to at the end of the year? Well, it is the end of the year.
So, yeah. So, Allie, you caught me in, like, a really interesting time because I flew into Texas this morning. And I'm Salvadorian, so we celebrate Noche Buena, which is the 24th. So all of my cousins are coming over tonight. My cousins, my uncles, the babies, my nieces and nephews, they're coming over tonight to my aunt's house. And my aunt is kind of the matriarch of my mom's side of the family. She is just this very loving maternal figure for all of us. And she's a fantastic cook. My God, this woman can make magic in the kitchen. So she's cooking right now and the house smells phenomenal. And so she hosts and we all dress up to hang out in the living room. And we celebrate together. It's the one time of year that we're really all together. Normally, we celebrate Thanksgiving because my entire family is made up of healthcare workers, with the exception of me. But this year, we were able to do Christmas together. And so this is a new experience for us. So I flew in just in time. And I'm just excited to hold the new babies and to spend time with my family. I love them so much. And I live in New York, they live in Texas and in California, so we don't see each other that often. But I hope they know that, like, they have a significant place in my heart.
That, wow, that's huge. Having all the, like, the whole family together. And, like, you know, I also have some friends who celebrate the 24th as well. And so for me, the 24th is very, like, restful. It's, like, different than your kind of 24th. Like, mine is just kind of where maybe finishing some wrapping, maybe doing this, doing that, but it's very restful. And then the 25th is like, okay, people coming over, food, this and that. And for me, what I love about Christmas is that it's in my house, whereas Thanksgiving, I'm actually going to people's homes. And so I go to my dad's and then my uncle's. So I'm taking Ubers all day, jumping from here to there, coming home and I'm tired. So Christmas is more like, okay, we're all home. It is kind of busy, but at least I'm not going out. And yeah, I'm just really excited. Like, this year, like, I just feel like, wow, like, this has been a really great year, you know? And I feel like, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like seeing your journey, like, your fitness journey, you seeing my fitness journey, it's been really, like, big. And I feel like we're really killing it this year, and next year will be even better.
I guess the cool thing about, like, going through grad school together is that, like, we all cheer each other on. Even if we don't talk, like, day to day, we are each other's biggest fans. And I will say that that is one thing very unique to our class from grad school, is that we all cheer each other on. But I have seen your fitness journey. You look incredible. I wish I could spend as much time in the gym as you do. I am terrified of gyms. I'm still not there yet. So to fill you in, I had bariatric surgery a year ago. And bariatric surgery is essentially where they cut your stomach. And my stomach has been reduced by 90%. And I was obese. I had gotten up to 265. And 265 is the last time I stopped recording my weight. I know that it went up a bit more. But right now, I have lost about 110 pounds. So I went from 265 to 255. No, 155. I'm 155 right now. So yeah, so it's been really life-changing. After the surgery, I started losing weight and I started getting into running. And for the first time in my life, in a very long time, I can run without hurting myself. So I became quite bold and I signed up for a half marathon like 3 months after my surgery, which everyone around me was like, what are you doing? But I did a half marathon and I've kept it up. And Corey, my co-host and our very good friend, he also enjoys running. So we would go running together because we lived literally 10 minutes from each other. So we would go running together and it was a lot of fun. And I want to keep it up and run for the rest of my life because it's so enjoyable. There's just like this euphoria that I feel when I'm running and listening to a really good playlist.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like you also go through the same when you're working out because you have headphones in and I see you on Instagram. It's euphoric, isn't it?
It is so euphoric. And for me, I hate running. So I'm the opposite. I hate running. But what I love to do, and because I'm from New York, so we're just naturally aggressive. I think instead of that aggression coming out in inappropriate times, what I really love about kickboxing is that all the aggression comes out right there. And so you're not just doing it to like burn calories, which yes, it does, but you're also just, you're letting it out. And I know that you said, you know, you're not too comfortable yet at the gym, but if you ever do get into it, I feel like kickboxing, you would love it.
I've always wanted to give it a try. Like, I'm a big fan of like boxing and combat sports, but I'm always afraid of like, this is so dumb. I'm afraid of getting hit in the face.
Well, you actually don't. Well, we kick the bag. So people always ask me, oh, do you box with people? So no, not really. So we just have, it's like a class and we have the bags and we kick the bags. Sometimes we might partner up with people, but it's never like professional crazy stuff. But actually, now that I've been kickboxing for a while, I would actually love to get in a ring and just practice in a ring. That's going to be more intense, but woo.
A friend of a friend was like, oh, now that I've tasted blood, I want more. I thought that was incredible.
Now that's my fear. That's my fear, is getting knocked out.
So on a personal level, yes, I am thriving. Also creatively, like Corey and I launched our podcast. My friend Lisa and I launched a style blog, which we've kind of taken a backseat to lately, but I professionally, I've kind of had a difficult year, but we're ending the year strong because I got a new job. Woo! So I'm really excited. Yeah. So life is good.
Amazing. Yes. Yes. To work. Me too. I got a new job too. And you know, I freelance. Listeners know I freelance, but on top of that, I have a 9-to-5 now. And no, it's not a 9-to-5 that I want to keep forever. In no way.
But stability is sexy.
Yes. And it helps me, you know, in having that stability while I build my ventures, which the goal is for my ventures to be my main bread and butter. But until then, do this little 9-to-5. And so this is the year where I really gain that stability because it's very hard living in New York, as you know, very hard in general. So,
yeah. I truly didn't understand the term, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, until we left grad school and started working. And I was like, oh, yeah.
And journalism's almost impossible to stay in for a long time. That's why, you know, yeah.
It's funny because journalism thrives in New York. So imagine what it's like in other markets.
So crazy. And really, you know, when I began the year, I began it very fearful. You know, it was a lot of fear. And it like, oh my God, am I going to get a job? Oh my God, is journalism going to be something I can continue to do? And luckily BET keeps reaching out to me and I keep working with them because it's hard. 2023 really started with a lot of fear. And now I feel more like, oh, okay, I'm going to get there.
This year whooped my ass. I'm not going to lie. This year whooped my ass, but I think I'm stronger for it. I've definitely been humbled, and to be fair, I think I needed a bit of humbling. So like I feel like I'm a different person. The last time that we were together as a class, I was drunk as hell during our Christmas party. That is not my life anymore. I can't drink that much because of obviously post surgery. So I'm a lot calmer, a little too calm sometimes, but I'm a lot calmer, and I feel like on top of everything else that happened to me, I've been humbled quite a bit.
yeah, because life be lifin', as I like to say.
Life be lifin'.
Let's talk about some of the things that really made this year big, and also some of the lows as well. And so I have a list of things, entertainment-wise, societal-wise, and then also personally. And so I gotta start with this. Don't judge me. We gotta start off with the Taylor Swift obsession this year. I think it has hit such a high that I am not personally comfortable with. I used to love her. I did. But to the point now where I cannot escape it, I feel suffocated. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it, but it felt with the Travis Kelce, it just felt like, help me, God, you know?
So I actually have a different opinion. So I think we're really lucky to live in an age where two very insanely creative, talented women are at the forefront of music, both Beyonce and Taylor Swift, and in two completely different ways. So like, I don't think it's a competition. I think it's two completely different things. Like, so with Taylor Swift, it's more lyrical. It's like this like it immersive experience, and Beyonce is this show-stopping, incredible, full body immersive experience. Both of them are immersive, but in two completely different ways. And it's two completely different artists, completely different forms of songwriting. And I really enjoy both of them. And the thing with both of them, I'll concentrate on Taylor Swift in a minute, but we don't get like so much access to them, like how we get with like Megan Fox and MGK, who we see quite often, or like these are two celebrities that are very private, but when we get them in full force for like 8 months at a time. On the Taylor Swift thing, it's like magnified because she's also in a new relationship, and she's in a relationship with this guy, Travis Kelce, who's one of the greatest tight ends of all time. He plays for Kansas City, number 87. Shout out Kansas City. I went to school in Missouri. So I have like a big like affinity for the Chiefs. So he's like this really great guy. He's never been like this toxic male. He's just like just this cool dude, and everybody's cheering for her because she seemed like Taylor Swift seems like somebody that in terms of being a young celebrity, and you hear about like young celebrities like going off the rail, she seems to have like a pretty good head on her shoulders. Like, again, I don't know her, but it's nice. I guess I love the fascination because I'm seeing someone date and blunder over and over again, much like me, and now she's in a relationship with somebody who seems to be like a really great guy. So I'm enjoying the fascination because I'm like, okay, if she can meet a really good guy, and she's had blunder after blunder after blunder, I can meet a really good guy.
Yeah, because the dating scene this year has been woo, Lord.
Yeah, and so I like her because she's similar in age to me. She's going through it just like the rest of us, and she's writing about it. So I enjoy it. I enjoy the experience completely. I haven't reached a point where I'm upset, where like I'm annoyed. I feel like I got there like with BTS, I got there so quickly, but not with her. And I think it's because as a woman, I've gone through life with her, and so it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of people. So they see themselves in her, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that's Olivia Rodrigo. I think I used to feel that pull with Taylor Swift, but then she annoyed me. And now I think I started really gravitating toward Olivia Rodrigo, who this year came out with Guts.
Can we say that, like, we rage with Olivia Rodrigo and we cry with Taylor Swift?
So good. Because I thought Sour was great. And I'm like, wait, what? Come on, girl. Like, Olivia Rodrigo killed it every time this year and every time she comes out. I really like her. And also, you know, shout out to Beyonce. You mentioned her before. Beyonce. Woo! Renaissance Tour took over the year. And I didn't go. Everyone I know, their mom, their cat, their dog, their grandma, everybody went.
Like, people were planning outfits for these concerts.
The best. I heard so many, oh my God, so many tales. People had, and I heard people, she had them there till 1 a.m. People were there till later than they thought, but it was incredible. And shout out to Bad Bunny. That brings me to my next highlight of the year, was going to Coachella. On behalf of BET, I went with Aperol Spritz. And let me tell you, this was historical because it was the first time ever that all headliners for the three-day festival were people of color. And Blackpink was one day, Frank Ocean, we will never talk about his performance. We will pretend like that didn't happen. It was there, but it was horrible. But I have a, woo, bone to pick with him on that. But anyway, and then Bad Bunny, who killed it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's so cool. You went on behalf of BET? What an accomplishment. I was like, man, is she an influencer? And then Corey was like, no, she's like going on behalf of BET.
Yes!
Like,
oh,
that is so cool.
I mean, this has been an amazing year when it came to just going to events on behalf of BET. I mean, my best friend calls me an influencer, and I keep telling her I'm not. She's like, yes, you are, because I invite her or Corey to these events. So,
I mean, I want to be an influencer. I'd love to go to events. I'd love to be, like, on someone's list of, like, should we invite so-and-so?
Yeah. It's definitely giving Carrie Bradshaw Sex in the City, definitely. But also, speaking of performances, Gov Ball, which I'm not gonna say I'm happy I went. I felt like Coachella was more of a bigger flex, because Coachella is something I wanted to do since I was in high school.
And you also went to the West Coast for it.
Hell yeah. And I love the West Coast. I love going over there. But Gov Ball was pretty dope. Gov Ball, you know, I saw Lizzo pre allegations. But I saw Lizzo. I saw Lizzo, Kendrick Lamar. I almost still passed out with him, because that's my favorite rapper of all time right now. That's my favorite rapper. I also saw Miguel perform at a Missy Elliott event that I went to. That's my second baby daddy. My first baby daddy is Mike Towers, who I saw as well somewhere this year. I saw Doja Cat at a party performing. This has been a pretty great year with terms of music performances, in my opinion. But I'm not going to lie, I am a little bit hurt that I missed SZA, because I heard great things about that tour. And then Beyonce. I regret. Regret those two things. And SZA's tour, I heard, was off the chain.
Being honest, for me, musically, this wasn't a great year. Like, I went through a lot, you know. I went through a lot personally, I went through a lot professionally, whatever. So I kind of stuck to, like, my favorites and would only, like, peek my head out into, like, culture, like, of music when, like, when it hit. But I have always loved SZA. She's not only just like a beautiful woman, but her voice is incredible, and she, like, she says whatever's on your mind. Like, she went, if you want to feel like a baddie and maybe, I don't know, have a guy come over for the weekend and then pass him along, like, there's a song for that, and it's by SZA. So I love SZA. I should listen to more SZA. you're basically telling me that I need to listen to more music, because I enjoy music and I love music. I just stick to my favorites when I get scared.
You need to listen to Control and SOS, because those are her two albums. And you see yourself in Taylor Swift. I see myself in SZA. There's something about SZA that's so relatable, and also that she's a black woman, and just every relationship she talks about, I'm like, oh wait, I've been there. I know him. I've been there. Kind of like when I'm watching Sex and the City and I feel like I've dated every type of guy that Carrie is talking about. I'm like, oh, I've been with that type of dude. My ex did that. You know, it's like so relatable. And speaking of exes and stuff, let's get into it. Yo, this has been the year of breakups, man. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Okay, are we getting to our personal lives?
Personal, society. I mean, I can't name you so many A-list couples that have broken up.
So, putting it out there, I haven't been in a relationship in a really long time, but we're not going to say this person's name because we both know who I'm going to say. But right before I got surgery, things got really messy between my old roommate and I. And I ended up getting, like, not just like, oh God, it still like hurts. And I'm well past it, like emotional, I'm not hung up on him, but it was like a very hurtful period. So basically I lived with this guy for 4 years, and things got messy towards about a year ago. And we ended up, I had never had someone that I loved and cared about so much hurt me and disregard me so quickly. And in terms of confidence, I was destroyed. I was broken. And this year was like the year of like my renaissance and my reemergence. And this year I started dating, like actually dating for the first time in like 4 years. And like, it's been such an experience because it's really my first time dating in New York. So, like, I haven't had, like, breakups or anything, but, like, the first person that I dated after everything happened with him was the best person to date because he was really kind and patient. And it ended, and that guy and I are still really good friends. But he helped launch me into, like, dating and make me feel safe and confident and comfortable dating.
Nice.
Because after you get destroyed by the person that you trust more in life, all you need is a little bit of kindness and and to feel desired. And now I do feel like I deserve to be loved and treated well. And I'm not something for someone to just cast aside. And so this year has been, like, life-changing for dating for me.
Wow. No, that's really powerful that you're saying it, because I think that kind of brings a positive look right into being single and dating. I know a lot of times we talk about it like, oh, it hurts, we're so single, we're this and that. Dating in New York sucks, which, yes, it does. But at the same time, you learn so much about yourself when you do it.
Here's the thing. I don't think dating sucks. So I think it's your mindset on dating. When I started dating, I said, I'm only going to do this while it's fun. The minute it starts to feel like a job, I'm not doing this. Dating is supposed to be fun. You're getting to know someone new. You're not just that, like, I'm pretty good as a person. Like, I'm not fantastic, but I'm pretty great. Like,
yeah.
I think I'd be, like, a really fun partner for anybody. And I want to go, and I want to meet people. So I'm going to do this while it's fun. You're going to have the pleasure of my company, and you're going to put your best foot forward, and we're both going to have fun while we're doing this. That's how I look at dating, and I refuse to look at it in any other way. We're still young. Like, you're what, 28, 27?
Yeah, I'm going to be 28 in 2 weeks.
Oh, in, like, 2 weeks.
Capricorn, yes, January 6th, yeah.
Yeah, you're 28, like, I'm 32. In New York, we're both, like, 23 and 24 in terms of age. Like, this is our prime. Dating is supposed to be fun. I refuse to look at it like a job, and I refuse to let some mid-dude make me feel like shit.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I think, you know, for me, I dated a lot this year, and I dated a lot last year. And, you know, you do learn so much about yourself. And I think, like you said, it is your perspective. And I think a lot of people that kind of broke up this year, like, you know, Teyana Taylor and Iman, Jeannie Mai and Jeezy, so many.
Jeannie Mai's, like, I think I've never seen, like, the personification of looking broken more. Like, she looked so heartbroken in the interview with Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah.
I think Teyana Taylor's career is on an upward, and I think Iman is stagnant, and I think that's why they're breaking up. I also feel the same way about Cardi B and Offset.
Oh my God, that's so toxic. Oh,
for real.
But so many of these women that we talk about who went through breakups, public breakups, they get so much attack for leaving these relationships, when in reality, it's like, well, we don't know how these men are. We don't know these relationships. You don't, like, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner. That was big this year. She was annihilated by the press.
I feel like the Jonas family, or whatever their machine is, had their people going and trying to attack her.
Yeah.
But then I feel like we are at a point where the internet has its own collective voice, and the internet was like, this is sus. Like, we're not believing you. You seem like the problem, Joe. And then my sister's also, like, a huge Jonas Brothers fan. And she was like, oh, I figured it would be Joe that would get divorced. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, he's kind of eh. And I was like, oh, okay. All right.
You see? We know these people without knowing these people. That's what this is saying.
Who else? Oh, Jody Turner Smith and Joshua Jackson. And then he, like, turned it around with Lupita Nyong'o. I was like, homeboy,
what?
Like, the ink is not even on the papers of your divorce, and you already have another relationship. What the hell?
That's a lot of people, though. I feel like specifically, like, what we're seeing. I mean, even Sophie Turner is dating someone else. You know, we've been seeing that. Like Emily Rada Swowski. I don't know how to say her last name.
Hers was so sad, though, because at least to me. I remember, like, she had this, like, Vogue video where she did her makeup, and she was, like, talking about how her husband is, like, calls her makeup finger painting, and she's, like, seems so happy to be married. And then it comes out that, like, not only does their marriage suck, but he also sucks, and he's problematic.
He's been cheating on her.
And he's exhibitive, and predatory behaviors. Like, fuck you. Yeah.
She's been living her best life, though, in New York. She's been living her best life.
I know, she has like a hot boy toy every now. Day, like, good for her.
Every day.
Yeah.
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 No, she's the Taylor Swift of New York. Well, I think Taylor Swift lives in New York too, so I don't know. But she's definitely been dating a lot and just being more comfortable and letting women know. And people, a lot of people took this the wrong way, but I don't. I think what she's trying to say is, you know, it's okay to be dating after leaving a marriage and finding what makes you happy. A lot of people say, oh, no, you should be in your relationship, your marriage. You don't know what the marriage looks like. I hate when people judge people for leaving marriages when you don't know what that marriage was.
No, you don't. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like her on a personal level. I don't like her. But I think what she's doing is choosing herself, which at the end of the day is fine. You know, and that doesn't, objectively speaking, I mean, she can do whatever she wants.
I mean, however we feel about the person as, like, the celebrity that they put out, like, as a person, like, you still want them to be happy and in a good environment and thriving, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, do you. And I feel like this brings me to what I've really learned this year, which was building my boundaries and sticking to them. Not just with romantic partners, but also friends. Like, I lost some friends this year, which I don't regret. I feel like it needed to be cut. And I have deep appreciation for the people I have in my life now. Because I really, you know, this was the year where I was like, oh no, we gotta, this ain't gonna work. This is not gonna work. And I think boundaries is so important.
I agree. I'm learning how to put boundaries, how to place boundaries, not just like with friends, but also with family, and not just with family, but also relationships. Like, I expect to be respected in dating, in my various forms of dating.
Yeah. Yeah, boundaries, it's so important. And I learned this year also, it's okay to break up with someone. Like, you don't have to wait for them to make that move. Like, I tend to, like, want to stay until, and I learned this year, oh, no, dump them. No, if you're being abused, you're being treated this way, it's okay to say, you know what, I'm done. Whether you're done or not, I'm done. Like, there's so much power in saying that.
Good on you for being, like, still in your 20s and realizing that, because, like, so many people don't learn that ever and stay too long. So, like, good for you.
Yeah, it's been a long journey, and I'm someone who, you know, I do want to be in a relationship. The goal was to end this year in a relationship. It didn't happen, but there's always next year. And also seeing we talk about it being a lot of breakups this year, but there was also so many engagements, weddings. I know of someone very special to me, I love her, who got married to the love of her life this year. And it's beautiful, you know, it's nice to see and stuff like that. And I think when you're dating with that thought in your mind, sometimes it can get tricky because you're like looking for this and that, but you can't really go in like that. You're gonna scare people away, and you're not gonna make the best decision, right? But you have to be able to look at the person like, hey, let me get to know you first before we jump to all that thinking. But yeah, a lot of love in the air.
I have a friend that got married this year to her longtime partner, and like seeing their wedding was, I didn't go to their wedding, but like seeing their wedding, I was just like, damn, you look like that pure joy of that day is so beautiful. And like, I wish them the best. They looked great. It looked like they had the best time. She said that they had a great time, and I wish them all the best. Not too many of my friends are married, just because I feel like people don't get married in New York that young, you know?
Nah, for real. But before we go, I do want to pay some respects to those we lost this year. And I'm mainly talking about, you know, the kind of entertainment world, because I know that that's such a big part of our lives, right? We talk so much about entertainment and what's going on and stuff like that. You know, we lost Tina Turner, first of all, which was so sad. I read her memoir. She's a Nichiren Buddhist like me. I practice Buddhism, if you didn't know. She passed away. It was a big thing in our Buddhist center. We really talked about that a lot. Matthew Perry from Friends, Angus Cloud, best known as Fez from Euphoria, the great Tony Bennett, and also an amazing Buddhist philosopher who I consider a mentor, Desaiko Ikeda, who is, you know, was the founder of the Soka Gakkai Institute, a Buddhism organization. He passed away at 95. And, you know, even for those who don't practice Buddhism, I really suggest people really, like, look up who this man was. I mean, he was remarkable. And so those are some people that come to mind. Are there any that come to you that you want to mention?
I think Angus Cloud was a big one for me, just because he was so young and his career was, like, just starting. Tina Turner, I felt less sad because she lived such a, Tina Turner went through it and then experienced the best partnership with her partner and then an illustrious career. So it seemed like she lived like such a full life. Matthew Perry's was really sad just because like his struggles were so public and he had been talking about recovering his life. And like I was recently reading something that Jennifer Aniston was saying that like his life seemed on the up and up. He wasn't doing drugs and all that. And then it comes out that he did die from like a ketamine overdose. And it's just like, what happened? What happened that like you felt the need to do this again? And I really feel for him. And because he was hilarious. He was such a good actor. And I'm not the biggest Friends fan, but like the every funny point is a point with Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
I'm a wrestling fan. So there was recently someone lost in the wrestling community. So his wrestling name was Bray Wyatt, but his real name, his given name was Wyndham Rotunda. And he was this really talented wrestler. He moved like really cool in the ring. He had this like eerie persona that captured the masses. He was really good in the ring, really good mic work, had like a lot of fans, a huge following. He was suffering from long COVID and he passed, and he leaves behind a fiance and two young children, as well as from a previous relationship, two children as well. So those are four kids like under the age of 18 that lost their dad. And the wrestling world lost like an amazing, amazing performer and wrestler. And he was maybe like 36.
So young.
Yeah, 36 years old. And it was a heart attack from complications with COVID. And it's awful, awful. Yeah, that's the one that stood out to me because I'm 32. That's someone that's only 4 years older than me. I feel like it would be remiss if we didn't mention that there are like thousands upon thousands of lives being lost every minute in Gaza. And for what, you know?
The conflict going on in Israel and Palestine as being low of the lows of this year. Like really just, oh my gosh, terrible. And I know it's been brewing, obviously generations and generations. It's not like it just started, but you know, we have to mention that.
Yeah.
Part of what we talk about, like even at the Buddha Center, when I brought this up and we were talking about this and having the conversation, it's like, you know, we're all human beings. And it seems like when we don't agree with the other side, we kind of don't see the others as humans. We're like, oh, well, no, they're wrong. They're this and that. And I just wonder how there's a way to like have a conversation without it being that. Because it's been just so crazy and dehumanizing to see. Are you ready to become the best version of yourself and live your best life? Are you tired of feeling stuck in your career, relationships, and your day-to-day routine? It all begins with you. In order to give your best, you have to become your best self. Stop living by default and create the life you want. I remember when there was a time where I felt like I had no control over my life, and the best life coach / relationship coach to help me put my life back together is Odette Godonel. If you are a hardworking, independent, successful woman who lacks energy, focus, and direction, feels overwhelmed, stressed, and anxious, thinks there is never enough time, puts yourself at the bottom of your priority list, feels a lack of connection in your marriage or relationship, or feels stuck and afraid of change, Odette can help. You don't have to keep struggling, and you don't have to figure it out alone. Odette has found the tools to learn how to stop living by default and start creating the life and the relationship that she wanted, and helped countless clients do the same. With her help, you can learn to reignite the spark within yourself, improve connection, intimacy, and fun in your marriage, have the best relationship possible with your partner, have more harmony, satisfaction, and joy in your relationship, improve communication and conflict resolution, increase your self-confidence, self-love, and self-worth, prioritize what really matters, and set boundaries,
and have goals, habits, and actionable steps that lead to results. If you're tired of living your life on the sidelines, visit www.odettecoronel.com. That's www.odettecoronel.com. You'll thank me later.
This has been such a great episode. Thank you so much for coming on. This is your first, but hopefully not your last.
Thank you for having me. I love girl chatting, and I'm so glad that we get a girl chat on a public forum and everyone gets to hear our thoughts.
And whoever doesn't agree with us, well, hey, I mean, that's life. We all have opinions. So,
if you don't agree with my thoughts, let me know your thoughts at majorleaguedeals1@gmail.com and listen to my podcast.
I hope everyone has an amazing holiday season and really enjoys the end of the year, and a happy new year.
Before we bid adieu, I wanted to surprise you all with a little parting gift as we exit out of 2023. I asked past guests to reflect on 2023 and what they're looking forward to in 2024. Here they are.
2023 is the year of lessons for me. I learned to appreciate all the small wins in life, whether that's been growing as a journalist, surpassing goals in my health journey, or strengthening friendships and relationships that are very important to me. So in 2024, I want to continue doing that and not really get lost or lose hope while going after big achievements. I've learned that will come in due time.
This year has meant for me being more intentional, being more strategic, and being more committed in how I go about my life, how I develop and nurture my relationships, how I develop and nurture my goals as a thought leader, as a developer of youth, as a writer. And next year, I guess I'm looking forward to more of that, being more intentional, more strategic, more purposeful, particularly when it comes to my creative goals and how I connect with and foster youth.
I think what this year has meant for me is that it's taught me even more so the importance of family. And even though I've known that family has always been important, it's just taken that to a whole new level for me. And I've just come to appreciate my family even more. And past that, I also think this year has taught me a lot about myself. It's shown me some of the things that I think I need to work on as far as weaknesses. And it's also, I think, shown me some of the strengths that I need to lean into more. And as far as what I'm looking forward to in 2024, I'm just really excited about meeting new people, making new genuine connections, learning new things, doing new activities and learning how to do different things. Also just traveling to new places.
Thanks to my fabulous former guests, Katora Kendrick, Corey Matthews, and Fifi Frimpong for sharing. And now I turn the microphone over to you, my listeners, to let me know the best parts of the year and what you're looking forward to in the new year.